Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. A reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 12. Bhishma's Glorious Death. Text number 1. Sri Vrishir Uvacha. Evam jishasur upadeham aso vidyam varam jayam manya mana shulam pravyabhyay patpatat surendram. Itta mahapurusham atambo asfu Sri Vichu vacha evam jyashur nipadayam ascho mijyam varam vijayam manya Sulam parija bhyapat tat surendram Yata maha purusam kaitabho aspasyu. Word for word, Sri Rishi Uvacha. Sukadeva Goswami said, Evam, thus, Vyasu, very eager to give up. Nripa, O King Priti, Deham, the body. Aja, in battle. Mityam, death. Taram, better. Dijayat, then victory. Manya manaha, thinking. Sulam, trident. Parigya, taking up. Abhyapatat, attacked. Sura Indram, the king of heaven, Indra. Yata, just as Mahapurusham, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kaitabhava, demon Kaitava, Apso, when the whole universe was inundated. Translation. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami said, desiring to give up his body, Vitishura considered the death in the battle preferable to victory. O King Prishi, he vigorously took up his trident and with great force attacked Lord Indra, the king of heaven. Just as Kaitabha had forcefully attacked the Supreme Personality of Godhead when the universe was inundated. Third word. Although Vrishasura repeatedly encouraged Indra to kill him with the thunderbolt, King Indra was morose at having to kill such a great devotee, was hesitant to throw it. Vrishasura, disappointed that King Indra was reluctant despite his encouragement, took the initiative very forcefully by throwing his trident at Indra. Vritishira was not at all interested in victory. He was interested in being killed, so he can immediately return home back to Godhead, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Jagdva deham bunar janma 19. After giving up this body, the devotee immediately returns to Lord Krishna and never returns to accept another body. This was Vritishira's interest. Omarya Turam Dasha Janantana Sabya Chakshulamitam Jaina Tasmei Shri Gurvenamaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Nanti Swapanantikam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hari Hari. Mukam Kuroti Vachalam Hungam Lagate Giram Hatkripa Tamaham Bande Chingur Dinatana. I offer my respectful message unto my spiritual master, deliverer of fallen souls, whose mercy turns the dumb into elegant speakers, enables the lame across mountains, and a dog just swim across the ocean. Translation once again. Sukadeva Goswami said, desiring to give up his body, Vritishira considered both death and the battle preferable to victory. O King Parikshit, he vigorously took up his trident and great force attacked Lord Indra, the King of Heaven, just as Kaitabha had forcibly attacked the Supreme Personality of Godhead when the universe was inundated. So Vritishira, this is the battle between Lord Indra and Vritishira. We know that Indra, although he's the king of heaven, is always getting himself into trouble. And therefore, he has to suffer feedback, suffer a sinful reaction for his different activities. It's in the Maja Lila, chapter 9, text 279. There was one sage who was meditating. His name was Achyuta Rishi. Now, when Indra sees that different yogis, sages become very powerful by their austerity and penance, Indra becomes afraid that he's going to lose his position. Indra is a post. It's like Brahma, Shiva, and all the other demigods. They have different administrative posts. And Krishna erected the Dwarka Fort. It says there are 33 million administrative demigods. And some of them brought presentations to Dwarka. So although Indra is the king of heaven, he's a devotee, he still has false pride. Batista, wanting profit, adoration, distinction. And because of his false pride, he keeps getting himself in trouble. First, when his spiritual master entered the assembly of Indra, Indra failed to stand up, failed to offer respects to him. And because of this, the demigods lost their power. The demons were defeating the demigods. But then they told Indra, that he should accept Vishwarup as his spiritual master. But he was inclined toward the demons. And when Indra found out that Vishwarup was giving part of his share of the sacrifice to the demons, he cut off his head. He had three heads. And then Indra again had to suffer sinful reaction, which he shared with the land, with the water, with the trees, and with the women. There were three times he got in trouble. There were two times. And then the third time, now he has to fight with Vikasura, and knowing that he's a great devotee. So Indra has this false pride, and one time when Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, he saw that Nanda Maharaj was arranging for some sacrifice. So Krishna said to his father, what's this arrangement? And Nanda Maharaj said, you're just a little boy, you won't understand these things. But Krishna said, no, you shouldn't keep secrets from family members. Tell me, what's this arrangement? So Nanda Maharaj said that we're going to offer sacrifice to Indra, because Indra supplies rain, and we're Vaishyas, and therefore we're depending on Indra for rain so we can be successful in our agricultural production. But Krishna said no. He gave him the Karma Mimamsa philosophy. He said, Indra pours rain on the land, he pours rain on the sea, he pours rain everywhere. It's not Indra that's responsible for your crops. So you don't need to worship Indra. Just worship Govardhan Hill. Ananda Maharaj said, okay, we'll worship Indra first, and then we'll worship Govardhan Hill. But Krishna said, no, you just use the same paraphernalia you already collected for Indra and worship Govardhan Hill. So they did that. They started to worship Govardhan Hill. But this enraged Indra, because he didn't understand who Krishna was. He was proud of his position, being the king of heaven and having so much power. So Indra called all his clouds, Shamataka cloud, and all the different clouds, and told him to go to Vrindavan, inundate the whole Vrindavan area. So this is a very vicious activity. He wanted to give trouble to the residents of Vrindavan. He thinks this is Vaishnava Parad. He wanted to give trouble to the cows, to the coward men, everyone. So he started pouring down torrents of rain and hailstorm, which was the size of pillars. So they prayed to Krishna. Krishna went from his house, and he went to Govardhan Hill, from his house to Govardhan Hill, but not one drop of water fell on Krishna. Then he lifted Govardhan Hill with a little finger of his left hand, and he expanded it 32 miles. So all the residents of Vrindavan took shelter under the hill, and with all their cows and their women and children and all the gopis, and therefore they're protected. So finally Indra could understand that he was playing with fire, and therefore when his mission was a failure, and proving that he was more powerful than Krishna, he called back the cloud, they desist everything. And they put the Govardhan Hill. Krishna told all the residents of Vrindavan, now you can leave Govardhan Hill. And Krishna put the hill back down, exact same place. And then Krishna came, then Indra came and offered prayers to Indra. And Krishna told, after he finished his prayers, Krishna told Indra that now you can go back to being the king of heaven, but don't be overwhelmed by false pride. This is pride. It says pride comes before the fall. So this Pratistha, wanting profit, adoration, and distinction, this is the Narthas for a devotee in the heart of devotees. Devotees should be Janadapi Sunichena, Atwarapi Sisuna, Amanina Mandana, Kirtanya Sarari. Devotees should feel oneself lower than the strongest tree, devoid of all senses, of all specialties, and ready to offer all respects to others. So, this is the position of Indra. You know, he was always getting involved with women, and he was cursed by a sage, and then he had vaginas all over his body. So he prayed for forgiveness. Now he has eyes all over his body. When you ever see a picture of Indra, he has eyes all over his body. But those eyes are not only and when he was in Gaur Lila, those eyes were also shedding tears in ecstatic love. So this is the position of Indra. Brahma, Indra, Shiva, these are all posts. And if there's no suitable living entity to take the post of Brahma, then Vishnu will take that post. But Vishnu is in charge of goodness. He's the overseer and permitter of both goodness, passion, and ignorance. And he's never contaminated by the modes of material nature. We know even Brahma became bewildered and thought he was more powerful than Krishna. And he stole the coward boys and put them in a cave. But it was only one moment for Brahma, but it was 1 year on this planet. So when Brahma came back to see what trouble he had caused, Krishna actually expanded himself into all the calves and coward boys as Vishnu expansions. And Brahma saw that and understood that he wasn't the all most powerful living entity in the world. So these different demigods have their posts, have their position, but they're not all in all. It says those who worship the demigods are considered less intelligent. Because if demigods can award fruits, but their fruits are limited and temporary, and they depend on Krishna, everything must be ordained by the Supreme Lord. Not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of the Lord. So, we should not think the demigods, if one has the accumulated pious credits, he can become a demigod, go to the heavenly planets, enjoy for thousands of years. And demigods, they don't go to Yamaraj to get judged after they finish their karma in heaven. They come back, the earth planet. But if they commit sinful activities, they do have to suffer. And we see that they get cursed sometimes. Many times the demigods get cursed. When Nanda Maharaj and the Kala, Shri Gornitaya Krishna Balaraja Samasana. When Nanda Maharaj and the Kaur boys, once upon a time, decided to observe Shivratri. Shivratri is not a regular observance for the Vaishnavas. But Lord Shiva, he's the best of all Vaishnavas. So they went to the Ambika, on the Saraswati River, and they fasted all day, and they drank a little water, then they took rest. And while they were taking rest, a serpent came and started swallowing up Nanda Maharaj, a python. Then Nanda Maharaj started calling for help, and the other coward men picked up burning logs and started beating the serpent, but then he wouldn't give up Nanda Maharaj. Then Krishna came there and stepped on the serpent's body, and immediately a beautiful demigod came out in the serpent's body. And that demigod was Vijayadhara. He explained to Krishna that he was beautiful. He had a very beautiful form, and he was proud of his beauty. So when Angira Muni came by, who was not beautiful, he laughed at him. So therefore he was cursed to take the body of a python. You know, also King Nariga was also had to take the body of a lizard. But that's a different story. But the demigods, they get cursed at different times, take different bodies on this, and like the sons of Kuvera had to stand as trees for 100 years in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. But they ultimately they got the darshan of Krishna and became pure devotees. So the demigods have to also be careful how they act. They have to act properly. But they enjoy as much as they enjoy until their karma runs out. So the devotees were not interested in going to heaven and enjoying life. This is in other religions. They think in going to heaven, like the Muslims think, the Muslim terrorists think, if they kill themselves with a bunch of other people, that they can go to heaven and enjoy with virgin girls. But that is not desired by devotees. That doesn't solve the problem of repeated birth and death. The devotee doesn't want to live in heaven if he can't serve Krishna, because it becomes like hell. And the devotee doesn't want to live in hell if he can't... If the devotee lives in hell, but he can serve Krishna, then it's like heaven. But if he lives in heaven and he can't serve Krishna, then it's the same as hell. So in all circumstances, devotees don't want anything material, any material benefits. They want to go back to Godhead, get free from the cycle of repeated birth and death, the bondage which causes us to remain in this material world. The Kailam Ashaswatam. This is a material world, a place of misery where repeated birth and death take place. So, this is the position of Indra. Now Indra is fighting with Vritrasura. Vritrasura was the devotee, King Tritaketu. And it's coming next chapter. One time, King Tritaketu, while traveling in outer space on a brilliant effulgent airplane given to him by Lord Vishnu, he saw Lord Shiva surrounded by siddhas and charnas. Lord Shiva was sitting in an assembly of great saintly persons, embracing Parvati on his lap with his arms. Chitraketu laughed loudly and spoke within the hearing of Parvati. And because he did this, he was cursed by Mother Parvati to take the body of a demon. So he took the body of a demon, but he still remembered that he was a devotee. This was not actually his curse. He could have counteracted the curse. He accepted the curse as the will of Providence. He bowed down to Mother Parvati. He asked for forgiveness. So he accepted this body of a demon, but to ensure that he will not have to take another body so he could go back to Godhead more quickly. So here the battle between Indra and Vritrasura is taking place. And Vritrasura, first Indra threw his club at Vritrasura. Vritrasura caught it and sent it back. Then Indra became fearful, even though Indra had the thunderbolt, which is made from the body of the Adichi, which was invincible, because it was ordained by Lord Vishnu. So Indra was the hesitant to use his disc weapon. So Vritrasura kept telling Indra that you should use your disc to then get this battle over with, so I can go back to Godhead. So it took some time, but Indra knew that Vritrasura was a devotee, so he knew he was going to have to suffer reaction for killing him. But because the demigods were being harassed, therefore the demons had to be suppressed. And Vritrasura was a very powerful demon. Therefore, but he wasn't interested in victory. He was only interested in going back to Godhead. It says, Jama karma chamedivyam evam yovi jatavaha jagva deham pranarjama nakti mama iti suarjuna. Krishna says, one who knows my transcendental appearance and activities does not take birth again after leaving this material body, but returns home back to Godhead. So this is the only interest of Vritrasura. Bhagavad Gita says, Prakriti kriyamanani guna karma sarvasaha hankara vimudama hartaham iti manyate liviyanti others spell three modes of material nature. Thinks himself the doer of activities. So again, because when we come in the material world, we get a false ego. As soon as the living entity, due to misuse of our independence, we decide to come in the material world and try to be Krishna, be the enjoyer. So immediately we have this false ego, hankara, thinking I'm the doer, I'm the Lord of all I survey. But we are tiny jivas, we're insignificant. And we can't accomplish anything without the sanction of the Lord. Rake Krishna Marike, Marike Krishna Rake. If Krishna wants you to live, no one can kill you. If Krishna wants to kill you, no one can save you. Rukmini gave birth to her first child, which was Pradyumna. The Sambar demon got news that this child was to kill him, was going to kill him. So like Putana, he disguised himself as a beautiful lady. He went into the house of Rukmini, stole the baby, and threw him in the ocean. Now when the baby was thrown in the ocean, was swallowed up by a big fish. So Krishna Prabhupada writes there, Rake Krishna Marike, Marike Krishna Rake. If Krishna wants you to live, no one can kill you. If Krishna wants to kill you, no one can save you. So that fish was caught by a fisherman, sold in the market to the Sambar demon, the cooks of the Sambar demon. Because demons like to eat fish and meat and drink wine and eat all kinds of abominable things. If you go to Jagannath Puri, you can smell, they catch fish, you can smell the fish in the market. Very obnoxious smell. Fish and meat is a very bad, obnoxious smell. Just the smell is so bad, let alone eating it. The Krishna says, Patram Pushpam Chaloto Yome Bhakti Priyatati. Well, one offers me a leaf, flower, fruit, or water, I'll accept that. Krishna doesn't accept meat and wine. These things they offer to the demigods. But it says in the 11th canto, if you want to eat meat, you can eat a goat or a dear ordinary cows. So, the devotee is the Lord. We have to follow four regular principles: no meeting, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. But as a result, we're talking about the story of Pradyumna. He was actually the wife. His wife was working in the kitchen of the Sambar demon. And when they cut open the fish, they found this baby who was still alive. That was Pradyumna. So she took care of him. He immediately grew up very quickly and became his wife, because she was his wife in the birth before him. And he went back to Dwarka and Rukmini as Rukmini's son. So the victory or defeat are all an arrangement of the Lord. The devotee is fully dependent on the Lord. His surrendered soul. Sarvadhamma Pikshaja, Mamekam Saranamaja, Ham Tuam Sarvapavamayam, Moksha Shami Maasuchaha. Krishna says, "This is rendered unto me, give of all varieties of religiosity. I will protect you from all sins, do not fear." So the devotee should work sincerely and leave the result up to Krishna. Of course, we should not act whimsically. In New York, they were trying to get a building in New York, and Prabhupada told them not to give the man who was trying to sell the building a down payment. Don't give him any money until he gives you the papers. So they didn't listen to Prabhupada, and they gave the man money first, and then the man said, "Well, he was making excuses. He couldn't give him the papers." So they went to Prabhupada and said, "This is Krishna's mercy." The Prabhupada said, "No, it's not Krishna's mercy. This is your stupidity." His Prabhupada told him not to do it. So if you do something stupid, you can't think that it's Krishna's mercy. But if something comes on its own accord, then we know it's Krishna's mercy. If we get sick or if we have some some kind of problems that comes by itself, we know it's Krishna's mercy. So devotees would go out on Sankirtan, distribute books, and they would leave the results up to Krishna. So sometimes you'd be very successful, distribute a lot of books, and sometimes you could work all day and not distribute very many books. So in either case, we went out 10 hours a day, distribute books, and all the collections went to Krishna, went to the temple. It was selfless service. The devotee did selfless service. He used to say in all the train stations in India, "Service to man is service to God." So service to man is service to man. But service to man becomes service to God only when it's service that can elevate the spirit that can benefit the spirit's soul. Service to man, service to the material body, that's not service to God. Where is the connection? There's social welfare activities. And our movement is not a social welfare organization. It's not our business to open schools and hospitals and dig wells and plant trees. But service to man becomes service to God when we can give the conditioned souls a chance to become Krishna conscious. Then it becomes service to man becomes service to God when we benefit that spirit soul, not simply the body. So we give people prasadam. Prasadam is our secret weapon. People may not want to hear the philosophy and may not want to become devotees, but prasadam, when people eat prasadam, they like it, then they get spiritual, they get benefited. Even if a dog eats prasadam, he gets a human form in his next life. So Prabhupada wanted prasadam distribution, he wanted book distribution, he wanted Gurukula to teach students, teach the children how to become devotees. These things are service to man, which bring people to becoming God conscious. So that service to man means service to man, means service to God, when people become Krishna conscious. So this purport is very short, and Vitrasura, he's telling Indra not to be morose. But everybody in the material world is morose. In the story with Krishna had a conversation with Rukmini, Prabhupada says everybody in the material world is morose. Even in the karmis, the jnanis, they have lusty desires that cannot be fulfilled, so they're also morose. But devotees are jubilant or happy because we're not trying to satisfy our senses. As long as you're trying to satisfy your senses, as long as you're trying to enjoy the material world, Paramahara says that's when your distress comes. So we live simple living, high thinking, especially brahmacharis. We have very few possessions. We just live a very simple life and we're happy. But the householders, the Grihastha ashram, is also there, but it is entangling. And Prabhupada says for householders, advancement is very slow, or next to nil. Because once you become a householder, then you have so many attachments. So like one sage was meditating and a mouse was stealing his kalpans. So he got a cat to chase away the mouse. Then the cat was hungry, so he got a cow to give milk to the cat. Then the cow needed someone to take care of it, so he got a wife. Then he had to get a house. Then he got children. Then he forgot about being in his meditation. So this way, household life is very entangling. And it's best to avoid it. If you can, it's best to avoid it. Avoid it. And live a simple life as a brahmachari and not have to worry about so many things which doesn't help us advance in Krishna consciousness. We should be surrendered soul. A surrendered soul means accept everything favorable, reject everything unfavorable, always depend on Krishna for his mercy, always depend on Krishna for his protection, and feel oneself meek and humble.